It's HBR, All Things Considered, and I'm Dave Lawrence. Tonight and tomorrow, Sheena Easton is back in town. Last time was with the Symphony, so this is a much more intimate engagement for the Grammy Award-winning artist, 6:30 and 9 at the Blue Note. With hits like Modern Girl and Morning Train 9 to 5, Sheena's also known for doing tunes with Luis Miguel and Kenny Rogers, and a series of collaborations with Prince. But to many people, she might be best known for singing the title track to and making a rare appearance on screen in the James Bond film For Your Eyes Only. We welcome her now to All Things Considered. Hey, Sheena, aloha, and thanks for doing this.
Aloha to you. Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, it's a great pleasure, and a little stripped-down thing, and that'll be cool to have as opposed to your last appearance for fans, because it'll be a completely different experience than having seen you with the with the symphony. Now, with you, I was taking a look at your life, which is a fascinating story. Dialing way, way back, I'm always curious about the huge influence that those first, let's say, 5-6 years of a person's life can have on them, and you and five other siblings, you're growing up together. Now, how many of you, besides yourself, were passionate about music, and what would you attribute that to?
Well, we were all passionate in our different ways about music. I'm the only one that went on to be a professional performer, but I think one of the reasons why we all love music is it was encouraged in our family. I mean, we grew up very, very working class. My father worked in the steel foundry until he died when I was 10. And then my mom went out to work in factories after he passed to raise us. But my dad, two things he did. He bought a set of encyclopedias, which is a huge thing. One of the reasons why I love to learn and one of the reasons why I went to college. And he bought a set of classical LPs. And that was enormous. That was a big thing. It's like we couldn't afford a lot of stuff and we scrimped and scraped. But here was what would be considered to be a luxury item, and my dad knew it was important enough to buy it for his kids.
And thinking about its impact on your career, you mentioned your father passing away when you were 10. Talk about ways that factored into your drive or motivation.
When I was 10 and he passed, my mother had to go work in a factory. She had to get up at about 5 in the morning, 5:30, leave the house by 6 a.m., and I was handed an alarm clock and front door key at 10 years old. And it was my responsibility to get myself up, get ready, go to school, come home, do my homework, peel the potatoes, do the dishes. My mom would come home and cook the dinner. And so it was expected of me at 10 to be responsible. My father passing made me kind of grow up early. It made me get strong at a very early age.
And sort of, I guess, the development of your career note, your recording career gets a gigantic boost via the BBC show The Big Time, Dusty Springfield and Lulu.
Yeah, that was my big, big break. It was an hour documentary that showed me recording my first single, and it gave me exposure in Britain. That just kind of like launched my career.
Modern Girl, is that what you were recording?
Yep. When the show was aired, we released Morning Train 9 to 5.
Right.
By the next weekend, both of those singles in the top 10 at the same time in Britain.
That's cool. And that must have felt so good. But to many folks, it was really the next year that provided your biggest song. And to be clear, Sheena Easton went on to do some amazing stuff after this experience. And we will hear about that. But For Your Eyes Only, tell that story of getting this James Bond gig and how it happened.
I think that the initial concept of using me came from Cubby Broccoli, who produced the movie. It was kind of unusual that they went out and I was a brand new artist, but we got the call to go do it, and I was like, I can handle that. But of course, I wasn't really thinking about how heavy a thing it was. It wasn't until I actually went into the studio to do it in the room and at the mic, and I started to kind of have a little bit of nerves, because outside were all these huge executives from the movie studio waiting to come in and critique it. And it was to the credit of my first record producer, Chris Neal, who made light of it all. I won't say exactly what he said on the air, but, you know, he basically said, hey, you know, ignore them. And he kept it all in perspective.
And so Roger Moore, he said you were sexier in the clips than any of the Bond girls, because you actually were the first one and only one to be seen singing the theme song in the Bond film, and I guess that's what Roger Moore was reacting to.
Oh, that he was just being a very sweet gentleman when he said that. But yeah, it was kind of unusual.
Did you get to meet Roger as part of all of the
we had to do a press junket together to help promote the movie. He was just a really, really nice man. There wasn't a lot of hanging out time. My favorite Bond, being Scottish, of course, is Sean Connery.
Right.
And I did get to meet Sean a few times. We happened to be out in Japan a couple of times, you know, on the same circuit. And he started introducing me as his daughter, just as a joke, you know, because we're both Scottish.
As I was saying, you know, the Bond thing kind of, in some ways, for musical purposes, gets far, far eclipsed by... You were connected to Prince. It seems like he wrote songs for you. You did stuff together. I mean, it's...
Yep.
Where did it all start with him? How did he enter to your life?
The first thing he did was Sugar Walls, which he wrote for me. And it was one of those situations where I was in the studio. We shared a sound mixer in common. You know, he was mixing for Prince and mixing my album. He was going back and forth between the studios. And anyway, he came in one day and he had a reel-to-reel and he said, hey, Prince sent this over. He wrote it for you last night. And I went over and we worked together and we got along so well. And it just became one of those things where when he'd come into town, he'd call and say, hey, come down to the studio. When we did You Got the Look, he'd finished that song. It wasn't supposed to be a duet. He'd done it. And he said, do you want to go in and throw your voice on the choruses as backup? And I went in to sing it, and I didn't know the song. Instead of singing along with You Got the Look, he would start, I'd go, You Got the Look. So he went, hey, I kind of like how that sounds. Keep doing that. And it ended up being a duet.
Before the engineer walked in with that tape in the beginning of your story, had you met him yet?
No. Nope. That's how we would record, too. He really didn't like you to sit too long with the song and learn it too well. And so a lot of it was improvisational around the main melody. The song that we did for the Batman soundtrack, The Arms of Orion, that was a lyric that I wrote and I sent to him. And he called me up and he said, we have to do this as a duet. So we got together and I kind of hummed a very basic thing. And he took the very tiny little basic seed of the melody and wrote the proper melody. And then we went into the studio, and that ended up being on the Batman soundtrack.
You did so much with him. Were you friends and hanging out outside of the studio?
Yeah, we were friends. I mean, everybody always used to try and make out like there was this huge romance, but we lived very different lives. But we were definitely friends. It got harder to be friends once I adopted my kids, and he'd call up and he'd go, you want to come down to the studio? Like, are you kidding? You know, I've been up most of the night feeding my kids.
Yeah.
So there was just less interaction, but he always stayed someone that I just totally loved and respected.
What was cooler, Sheena, working with Prince or being on Miami Vice where you married Don Johnson's character?
Yeah, that was kind of fun too. Yeah, that's true. That was a fun thing to do. Being Mrs. Sonny Crockett, it was kind of funny because when we shot our wedding scene, people were so obsessed with Don Johnson and Miami Vice at the time. They had helicopters and, you know, I guess the forerunner to paparazzi trying to get pictures of the wedding. It was very funny.
Final question. I don't know if it tops that, but being the voice of Professor Fiona Pembroke and Scooby-Doo and the Loch Ness Monster had to be rewarding to be that close to Scooby-Doo, huh?
Well, you know, Scooby's my guy. I do love me some Scooby-Doo.
And it's a great note to leave it on. She is tonight and tomorrow, 6:30 and 9 over at the Blue Note. And maybe if you're really sweet to her at the show, she'll do a Scooby-Doo impression for you. It's Sheena Easton, and what a great guest you are. I had a lot of fun talking to you. I hope you enjoyed doing this. I really, really do appreciate you being part of the show.
Thank you, sweetie. I appreciate it, and thanks for taking the time. And thanks for doing so much research. I can tell you really did the work, and you sat down to, it was like talking to a journalist.
Giving you a big high five. Stay in touch, and maybe I'll get to say hi at the concert.
Please do. If you come by, come and say hello.
For your eyes only, I need